The following recording has a number of different options available to you. The first is the recording of the current Afyomi 13th cycle, and it's done rather rapidly, without great detail. That's followed by a very fast review that enables you to go over the daf in about 5 to 10 minutes. That's followed by a recording of the Afyomi from the previous cycle, done at greater length, more detail, and also with a different ambience, a different audience. You can use one for your original learning and one for your review, but whatever you do, enjoy. Today's daf in Masechet Shkalim, brought to you by Ben Chomot Yerushalayim, is daf Tet Zayin, and we're holding on the third line right at the beginning of the line. So yesterday we were discussing the question of whether there were one Aaron or two Aaron or not. Anyway, now we want to discuss a little bit of the relationship that the Aaron had with some other things, and therefore we get into the Gnizat Aaron. Misha Nignaz Aaron, at the time, and we're going to see later that Yoshio hid the Aaron. Of course, this is according, we had three Shitot yesterday, but according to the Shita, that it was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and there was a Mokom HaMiuchad, Ad HaYom HaZeh, which is how the Rambam passes, that the Beis HaMikdash was built Lechatchila, with a special place that Shlomo HaMelech had already prepared, Asher Bana Shlomo, as we'll see, for the Gnizat Aaron. So with the Gnizat Aaron was Nignazimo Tzinzenet Haman, that was from the time of Moshe, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Kach Tzinzenet Echad, it should be a Zimun L'dorot, that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us while we were in the Midbar. And the tzeluchit of the Shemen HaMishkan, we're going to see that the container of the Shemen HaMishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu made is still exactly as full as it was at the time that it was originally made. The makel of Aaron that had sprouted in the Machloket of Korach, together with its flowers, its shkedim, which are still on it, the argaz that the plishtim had brought back with those weird golden molds that they had made of their own rear ends, and that was put into an argaz, and that was the plishtim's gift to Elokei Yisrael. And who was the one that put all these things away? Me, Ganezo, Yoshio, Ganezo.
I'm sorry, I have to ask.
If you haven't learned Nach yet, then...
No, just the way Rebbe described it is that they gave an imprint of their backsides.
Well, yeah, together with their hemorrhoids.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
lovely.
Yeah, what would it be without hemorrhoids?
This was the hospital, you know. It's like keeping your gallstones, you know. Yesterday we had someone here talking about all the lovely gallstones, you know.
Okay.
Right? Might as well keep a memory of everything, you know. After all, the boxer keeps you, you know,
yes.
And every blow that laid him low and cut him till he cried out. And this is what happened to the poor plishtim. Mi ganazo, who put all of this away? Yoshio ganazo. And why did he? Because kivan shera'a shekatuv, when he saw that the posik makes such a fuss of yolech adonai otcha v'yet malkecha shetakim alecha el goya shelo yadata tav avotecha v'avata shem elohim achirim eitz v'even, and that means that everything that you have will be taken away. So he was afraid that the Aaron would be taken with Klal Yisrael. He immediately was Omad v'ganazo. And we find that this explains a very strange pasuk, because he says to the Levim, "Vayomer laLevim haMevinim ulechol Yisrael haKadoshim laHashem, tenu et Aaron haKodesh b'bayit asher bana Shlomo ben David melech Yisrael ein lechem masa b'katef." Now this is an absolutely crazy story. We're talking about 4 centuries after the building of the Beis HaMikdash. It's been close to 1,000 years since anybody ever carried the Aaron b'katef, except for that one time that they had brought it up to Yerushalayim. And he's telling them, well, it's time to bring the Aaron into the house that Shlomo built. What is that supposed to mean? And what are you saying? You don't have to worry about carrying it anymore. This makes no sense. So therefore, what it really means is that he told them like this. You think, you know, you've got this beautiful image in your mind of, you know, building some massive Titus gate in reverse, you know. So you're going to build the Arch of the Levium, carrying the Aaron back triumphantly from Bavel after 70 years, you know. So you figure, okay, so we'll go with the Aaron, you know. It'll make a beautiful show. They'll make movies of this. We'll be bringing it back. You ain't ever going to bring it back. Believe me, he said to them, Im goleu machem l'bavel, you may come back, but they ain't ever going to let go of that Aaron. So you can be guaranteed, so you're not going to be carrying it back in the triumphal procession. That's going to be pretty gloomy. And therefore, now is the time. Now is the time to bite the bullet. And if do what you got to do and put it into the special hidden house that Shlomo HaMelech had prepared for it, where it will remain hidden as a no place. It's an invisible place. It cannot be detected with radar. It's a no place. So, you know, there are such things. Yes. Underneath, that's exactly what we said. Bimakoma. As we said yesterday.
It was this. Confused with Orwell's unplace.
No.
It's an actual place that is a no place.
It's a no place because it's not detectable.
So, the
nickname of that is Bermuda Triangle? No. It's made to return and name the information so that it looks like it's not there. There's no way you can see it. It's like Harry Potter's invisibility cloak.
It's there, but it's like a black hole. Mm.
Anyway, that was a very unscientific statement.
I'm a very unscientific guy.
Yes, I know. So now that we've spoken about bringing the Shemen HaMishcha, Pitum Shemen HaMishcha. So now let's analyze how the Shemen HaMishcha was made. And the reason we're bringing this in is because since we spoke about the Tzeluchit of the Shemen HaMishcha, we want to end up with the story of how it was Ma'aseh Nisim, and that in the end, all of the original Shemen is still there. So first we darsh in the Pasuk. So it says, Ata kach lecha b'sami brosh, mor dror chamesh meot. Let's keep a record of how much we have. Let's assume that the Pasuk means kipshuta. Mor dror chamesh meot, that's 500 mona. Kino mon bosem machzito chamishim u'matayim, that's 250. Knei bosem chamishim u'matayim, 250. V'kida chamesh meot, another 500. Put it all together, and you end up with elef chamesh meot manim, 1,500 mona of ingredients. Now, actually, it's not clear that that's the correct girsa, because machzito chamishim u'matayim means half of it is 250. So if half of it is 250, then that means it was actually 500. That's how the Bavli learns it, and it's just coming to tell you that has to be brought in two separate sections, in which case it should say elef shvamiot v'chamishim, because it was another 250. That's the girsa of the Bavli, and many are mishan of the girsa here to be the same. And then it continues on to say that you're supposed to mix this with shemen zayit hin. Now, hin is shnei masalim. Now, what you were talking about over here is 1 cup water for 400 pounds of flour. I mean, that's going to make a heck of a mixture, let me tell you. So you're supposed to take this for Shabbos Shalkim et Ayikarim Divrei Rabbi Meir, and you boil all of that in that oil. Now, as Rabbi Yehuda says in the Bavli, that is insane. There is no way that you could even, if you took a little, one of those little brushes, you tried brushing Yud Beis Hin over that amount of ingredients, it wouldn't be enough. Impossible. What are you going to boil it in there? Makes no sense. Therefore, continues the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, Shalkim Ayabamayim. First of all, they put all of this into a big, gigantic pot. The whole thing was soaked and boiled. Then you put oil on top to absorb all of the smell that had gotten out from the boiling. And then the essential oils are absorbed into the shemen. And then you're collate. After it's collate the reach, you're ma'avir, the shemen, from on top of the water. And that's exactly why, that's why it says, Hadu dichtiv, shemen mishchat kodesh, the reason that the Torah repeats over here, the shemen mishchat kodesh has to be rokeach, it has to be ma'aseh rokeach, it has to be mekachat. Ma'aseh rokeach is to tell me, I'm not just giving you a list of ingredients, I'm telling you, it needs to be processed. It has to be processed the way in which a normal spice maker would utilize these ingredients to make perfume. But that does, it's not supposed to be magic. And the Maisa in the Bavli, and we'll see here too, we're going to take it for granted, the answer Rabbi Meir offers to Rabbi Yehuda is that, look, the whole Shemen HaMishcha doesn't make any sense. Derech HaTeva, there's no way that this Shemen HaMishcha could have been sufficient for what it needed to do. So anyway, it was Maisa Nisim. So what's your problem? Another Maisa Nisim. Fine. This is one of those things that isn't meant to make sense. So Tana Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elohim, Shemen HaMishcha she'asa Moshe b'midbar, ma'aseh nisim na'aseh bo b'tchila v'atzof. The whole thing anyway, from the very beginning until the end, and this is going to leave the sheet of Rabbi Meir, because we're going to explain mitchila, meaning that there really wasn't enough to do that boiling with. Anyway, shemitchila lo haya bo ela shnei mesaluk. You start with shemen zayit hin. So if you would try losuch bo et ha'ikarim, there would never have been enough, okay? Alachat kama v'kama, you want to boil it. I mean, that's crazy. First of all, the ur is bolea, meaning that the actual heat is going to boil away some of that oil. So you're not going to have yud beit. Then the etzim that are there together with the all of these ingredients is very, very absorptive materials. So that's going to be bolea. The pot itself is bolea. So what could possibly be left of this supposed shnei masaluk? And yet, you needed to have enough that would be sufficient. Umimenu, nimshcha mishkan v'chol kelav. So you needed to do all of the kelim of the Mishkan, all of the kelim of the Shulchan, all of the kelim of the Menorah, Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, and his children, all of those things, 7 different times, because you had to do it kol shivat yemei miluim, and you needed to do the Mashiach of the Kohanim Gedolim, and the Melachim, throughout all of the Doros. By the way, a Melech actually only needs Mashiach at the first king of a dynasty. So a Melech betchila, toun Mashiach. A Melech ben Melech, ain't toun Mashiach. Where do you get that from? Now, the pasuk that is brought over here seems to be a mistake. We'll see later on that Yerushalmi ends up learning from this pasuk the same thing the Bavli learns from this pasuk, namely that only Malchei Beis David are given Mashiach, not Malchei Yisrael. Here, the Gemara quotes this, and many change the girsa because of that to the correct girsa that we have in the Bavli, which is Hu Ubanav Kol Hayamim. So Hu Ubanav means he, but all of his children included, until the end of that dynasty. So therefore, that would be the pasuk to bring, but we bring Kum Mashcheo Ki Zehu. Zehu is what was told to Shmuel when he discovered among the children of Yishai, he discovers David. So we learn from here, Zeh to'un Meshicha, he and only he requires Meshicha, but his children do not require Meshicha. Now in actuality, we'll see later on, this pasuk tells us he, meaning Malchus Beis David, requires Meshicha, and Malchus Yisrael does not require Meshicha. A Kohen Gadol, even if he's a Ben Kohen Gadol for 10 generations, he's still going to need Mishicha, and that too we learn from the pasuk. Now, because it says Beferish, Benav, Ubanav. And therefore, we would require a heck of a lot of oil, right? And nonetheless, getting back now to the Nisi, nonetheless, Kulo Kayam Latid Lavo, all of that Yud Beit Lugin is there to be left by the side of the Yarn and the Tzluchis of Shemen HaMishchat. And how do we know that? It's Shemen Mishchat Kodesh Yeh Zeh Lila Dorotechem. This is the Dorotechem. Zeh is Begematria Yud Beit. The same 12 lug are here for all generations. They never remade the Shemen HaMishchat. Ein Moshchin HaMlachim Ela Al Gabei HaMayan. Furthermore, once we're already talking about the Din of Mashicha, the Mashicha of a king is by a natural well or stream. Shneimar V'Yirkavtem Et Shlomo B'ni, when David HaMelech was responding to the Adonio attempt to be Molech, so he says, take Shlomo al Pirdai Sheli, V'oratem Oto Al Gichon, you have to take him specifically to the Gichon spring, U'mashach Oto Sham, Tzedok HaKohen, V'natan HaNavi, L'Melech Al Yisrael. Wait a minute. I didn't, we said before, Ein Moshchin Melech Ben Melech. This is Adonio. I mean, this is Shlomo Ben David. And you just said Zeb Ton Mashicha, but his Ben isn't Ton Mashicha. So why are we doing Moshe? Because Ein Moshchin Melech Ben Melech, except if there's a machloket about who's supposed to be king. And indeed, that explains, B'nei Pshach Shlomo, because Adonio. Adonio claimed to be king. That means it was already machlokes. How do we know that? Well, if we learn it out of the Pesukim that the Bavli learns it from, so it says, Hu banav beker of Yisrael. So kol hayamim has to be only beker of Yisrael. That means where there is an agreement among all of Yisrael. So it's bizman that it's beker of Yisrael. If there's a machloket, it's not beker of Yisrael. In which case, it would require a separate Mashicha. And that's exactly why we did that. Yoash, we had to be Moshiach because Atalyo had claimed the kingdom. So Memela, even though he was a Ben Melech, we needed to put him also to do Mashiach. Yehoachaz, this was the reason we took Yehoachaz, even though he was a Melech, Ben Melech, is because Yehoiakim was 2 years older than he was. And nonetheless, they had made Yehoachaz king, and they didn't want Yehoiakim. So Yehoiakim, Achiv, Shayagalmi, Manu, Shtei Shanim. Yehu was Nimshach because of Yoram. Yehu, because Yehu's not from Malchus Beis David. He's from Malchus Yisrael. I thought, do we not learn from the pasuk Kum Mashcheo? And of course, this contradicts the way we brought the pasuk before, which is why they changed the girsa. Does it not say Kum Mashcheo Ki Zehu, which teaches us only Zeh, that is to say, a Melech from Beit David, Ton Mashicha. But Ein Malchus Yisrael to the Mashicha. So what are you giving me an excuse for why we did Yehu? Forget about the excuse. It's usher. If you use the Shemana Mishka for someone you're not supposed to be Mashiach, he's being Mashiach. It was an Isser Gomer. What are you telling me they did Mashiach on him before? Let me ask you something, says the Yerushalmi. We said before, well, how did you understand? We said before, Yehoachaz, they did because of Yehoiakim. Excuse me. Who was the one that did the Gneza you said before? Yoshio. That was his father. So that means by the time we get to him, it doesn't matter because there is no Shemana Mishka. So how did you understand the pasuk before? If after you asked me, what did we need to do the Mashicha on Yoshio's children? Because there was a machlok, because of Yehoiakim. There wasn't any Shemana Mishka. The Lord Yoshio Ginazo. So obviously at this point, you were supposed to understand that we're no longer talking about the Shemana Mishka. We're talking about an act of Mashicha. An act of Mashicha is a formality to imply the chashivas of this Adam as a king. But it has nothing to do with the Shemana Mishka. So for the Malcha Yisrael, indeed, we use Shemana Farsima, which was extremely chashiv, but it's not the Shemana Mishka.
Why are we giving credibility to Malchus Yisrael?
HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up Malchus Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up Malchus Yisrael. What do you mean? He was the one that said, go be Moshiachim. It's just that it meant with B'Shem Nafar Sama. Ein Moshchin HaMelachim Ela Menakeren. And in fact, if you take a look at history, Shaul and Yehu were both Nimshachu Menapach, specifically. And what happened to them? They didn't succeed. Malchutan was Malchut Overet. And this is the Ramah Karni Ba'Hashem. Chaim says, only the Karen is Rama Basham, but the Pach, those who will use the Pach for Beshicha, it doesn't end up working. And it was Malchut Overet, David and Shlomo, where they used the Karen, Harem Karen, Meshicha, that was Malchutan, Malchut Kayemet. Ein Moshchim Kohanim Melachim. You do not do a Meshicha. This doesn't mean only a Meshicha, as the Ramban explains. You don't make them Melachim, is what it means, in any way. And this, of course, is very Nogea today, being Rosh Chodesh Kislev, and the Ramban explains this is the reason that Hanukkah was a tremendous flop, because the Chashmonai went and decided to be over on this Pasuk. And Omer of Yehuda Antundra Raya, Al Shem Lo Yasur, Shevet Miyuda. That Pasuk, Lo Yasur, Shevet Miyuda, says the Ramban, was the reason that they ended up being Nichshal in their Malchus. Omer Pchia Barada, Leman, Yarich Yamima Mamlachto, Hu Banav Bekerav Yisrael, which is the Pasuk that we should have brought earlier to say that we don't need a Meshicha of his children, is also a remez that Kohanim should never be king. Why? Because what's the next Pasuk? Lo Yele Kohanim Alavim. Obviously not really, but Pashtus related to this. He's talking about a chelik in the Biza and the Nadar. However, it also is a smichus. We dash in a smichus, but not Kohanim Alavim. Om Rabbi Yochanan, once we're on the topic of Yochanan, says Rabbi Yochanan, you should know that Yehoahaz actually is called Yochanan in the Pasuk. But it says Habuchor, the children of Yoshio, is Yochanan. And that's not true, because you said Yehoyakim is older, 2 years older. So how could the Bechor be Yehoahaz? I'm really confused. Well, that doesn't mean the Bechor, my dear. That's a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim. Divrei Hayomim is about the Seder HaMelucha. And when it says a Bechor, it means the Bechor for Malchus. And that's true in Divrei Hayomim terms. So we took Yehoahaz, who was not the oldest, and we made him the first to be Melech. Another thing that Rabbi Yochanan said was that in the story of the children of Yoshio, you should know that Shalom and Tzidkio are the same person. Oh, that's really interesting, because the pasuk says Hashlishi Tzidkio and Haravi is Shalom. So how were they the same person? Ah, says Rabbi Yochanan, you need to understand the way the Rayomi works. The Shlishi was Tzidkio, meaning he was the third born, but he was the fourth as Shalom, and we'll see if it's called Shalom because that was the end. Shalom, that was the end of Malchus based on it, but he was the fourth in order of the Malchus. Because what happened was that Arbala Malchus, he was called, because after the disaster of Yechonyahu, then they went back to Tzidkio. So first they had taken the child, made him Melech, Tzidkio, Nebuchadnezzar takes him to Bavel, makes a Golas out of him, and appoints his uncle, who is now number four, so to speak, of the Malchus, after Yoshio, and therefore he's the Revi'i LeMalchut. And why is he called Tzidkio? Well, actually, Nebuchadnezzar gave him the name Tzidkio, as we'll see, but he was called Tzidkio, and the Torah accepts this name, because the reason that Nebuchadnezzar gave him the name Tzidkio is, God help you, buddy, if you don't stick to the guarantee that you give me, so that you're not supposed to be murdered against me. So be matzdik the din right now. Whatever he does to me, I deserve, okay? Because boy, are you going to get it. And boy, did he get it. So, and in the end, he was a ditzdik. He always matzdik all of a sudden. As we say, that's what we mention even in the Ruach HaPeinu, Mashiach Hashem. And therefore, the Torah calls him Tzidkio, Shitzidek Alav Midas Hadin. And why was he called Shalom? Shibyamav Shalma Malchut Beit David. Lo Shalom Avishmei, says Rish Lokesh. Velo Tzidkio Avishmei. None of those were his real name. His real name was Matanya. Dichtiv Vayamlech Melech Bavel et Matanya Dodo Tachtav. Vayasev et Shemot Tzidkio. So it was Nebuchadnezzar who had changed his name to Nebuchadnezzar. Om Rabbi Yochanan. Getting back now to the Aron HaBrit, and we're talking about the Gniz of the Aron, and what was Nignas together with the Aron, let us also define what exactly was included in the Aron. Now, in order to understand what's included in the Aron, we have to first talk about the Machlokas and the Mishnah in Kalim, about this size of the Amah that was used in measuring the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, basically, there were three Amot, if we don't include those special Amot that were just used for measuring for the ordering for the Beis HaMikdash. That was different on Shar Shoshan. But there were three Amot. There was the standard Amah, which is called the Amah Beinonit. The Amah Beinonit is what we always refer to as six Tochim Amah. There was an Amah that was Socheket, which ended up being a Chatzi tefa, a chatzi etzba larger than 6 tefachim. It was 6.5 tefachim. And then we had the amashel chamisha instead of amashel shisha. So that was a machlokas in the Mishnah. What amah size is the Torah referring to when it gives the measurements of the Mishnah? So there it says, ba'amah shel shisha tefachim hayaron asui. Who is Rabbi Yochanan going according to? Mantana ba'amah shel shisha tefachim Rabbi Meir. Tetan Rabbi Meir omer, kol ha'amot ayu bebeinoniyot. They were all standard amot of 6 tefachim. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the amot of the binyan, not the kalim, was the standard amma. But all of the kalim that the Torah refers to in the Mishkan are measured with an amma of chamisha. So now, let us figure out the total dimensions of the Oren and its contents. I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. So, daita to Rabbi Meir, he says, ba'amma shal shishat tvachim, okay? So, if the Oren is asui, from an Oren of shishat tvachim, so then let's analyze how many tvachim we have over here in total in the Oren. It would mean that the Oren was long, the length of the Oren was 15 tefachim. It's very simple. It says, amatayim v'chitzi orko. Okay, so let's take one amta of ashita, one amta of 6, and another amta ashita. Another amta of 6 is 12, and then a palgut amta is 3. Okay, 6, 6, and 3 equals 15. Let's figure how we split up those 15 tefachim. Because in truth, we had the contents of all 4 luchot. And we talked about yesterday that in the end, and we paskin, and this is what the Ramban Taina is against Rashi. It always says in all of the sugyas, and this is one of them that the Ramban brings, in all sugyas across both shasim, it refers to an aron that contained luchos for shivrei luchos. So why the heck would Rashi claim that, like a das yachid, that we have 2 arons, one of them contained the shivrei luchos? That was his taina. And again, it's Tosfos answers that's only after they actually brought the aron into the Beis Hamikdash that they put the shivrei luchos in. Fine. But ultimately, the Gemara always speaks taking for granted that therefore there was a total of contents of 4 separate luchos, including the shivrei luchos, that needed to be inside the Oren HaBrit. So now, let us talk about 2 of them. Shnayim, 2 of the luchot were whole, and 2 of them were broken. And the way we know that is that it says, Asher Shibarta v'samtem ba'aron. I mean, obviously, the simple meaning of the pasuk is the luchot harishonim asher shibarta. Take the new luchot that I gave you in place of haluchot harishonim asher shibarta. The samtem baron, referring to the first part of the pasuk, which was the shnei luchot that you wrote instead of. But if you take a look at the smichas, it also says asher shibarta the samtem baron. So that means that we needed to have an aron that would hold all 4 luchot.
Is it 4 because the luchot are plural? 2 and 2.
It says before, Shnei Luchot HaBrit. Yeah, 2 plus 2. Yeah.
2 sets.
2 sets. Okay. Right. Total of 4. Yes. Yeah, total of 4 Luchot.
Simple.
Right. No. Okay. So now, the Luchot, Ayakol Echad V'Echad, were Orko Shisha Tvachim, and Rochbo, it should say, Shlosha Tvachim. Let us take the length, it should say the width. It's a little bit confusing over here. And we multiply the 4 times 3 along the orech of the oran. So that means 4 times 3 gives us 12. And we had 15. So we're left with 3 tefachim. The only problem is, of course, that those 3 tefachim are measured from the outside, the 15 tefachim, not from the inside. And you're conveniently ignoring the thickness of the walls. So you're going to need another chatzi tefach on each side for the thickness of the wall. So you're basically left with 2 tefachim. In the 2 tefachim that were left, we had the rolled-up Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu had written. And all of this, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, who holds that the Sefer Torah was inside of the Aron, together with the 4 luchot. So, nishtayru shnei tvachim of Sefer Torah. Now, let's take a look at the width of the Aron. See how that works. So, you take the width of the Aron, is tish'at tvachim, that's obvious, v'amah v'chetzi rachbo. So, 1 amah is ashita, add another half an amah of 3, 6 plus 3 is 9. And again, if we ignore the thickness of the walls, which we'll have to adjust for later, we had the Arba Luchot Hayubo, and there were Shnayim Shleimim, Shnayim Shvurim. Once again, our source text is Asher Shibarta V'Samtem Baron, and once again, the Luchot Kol Echad V'Echad was Orkan Shisha, Rochban Shlosha. So now if we take the Orcha and the Rochva Shel Aron, so now we have 6. They're all 6, because they're all along the same one next to each other. So we have the total of the 6, and the length of the Orin, 4 of them next to each other. We already talked about the 4. So we've got 6 long against the 9, leaving us 3 tefachim. Okay, we need to take off also the thickness of the walls once again. So we have chatzi tefach on one end for this kotel, chatzi tefach on the other end, the kotel zeh, leaves us 2 tefachim in the length. And what was that for? That was in order for us to get our fingers in there to be able to pick up the Sefer Torah and get it out. Otherwise, we'd never be able to get anything out again. So, b'meila, it makes sense. Okay, so if you're left with a tvachaim l'shilut, meaning to control, to be able to have access to Makom Sefer Torah. And that was the place where the Sefer Torah was made. Now, Reish Lakish argues, and he's with Rabbi Yochanan, he says, no, actually the Oren was Bamabat Chamishat Vachim Ayaron Asui, and obviously, who is he going like? He can't argue with Rabbi Meir. So, Mantana Bamabat Chamishat Vachim, that's Rabbi Yonah. Because again, in the Mishnah and Kalim, we learned that Rabbi Yonah Meramat HaBinyan was standard six, but Amashal Kalim was Chamishat, and the Oren is a Kli. So now, Alibi Rabbi Yehuda, who says Ba'amasham Chamishat Vachim, that's the total orach was then only Shneimasar Tefach Umechza. Again, analyze it very simple. Amatayim V'chetzi Orko, you take one Amma is five. You take one Amma is five equals 10. Upalgat Amma of five is 2.5. Okay. That gives you 12.5 total Tvachim. Arba Luchot Ayubo, Shneim Shleimim, Shneim Shurim, V'chiva Sheshibarta V'sabtem Baron, the Luchot V'chol Echad V'achad Orkan Shishat Tvachim, V'rochman Shlosha Tvachim. Again, you take now the of the luchot, put on the orach of the orain, and now you're only left with a chatzi tefach. There is no room for a sefer Torah, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Obviously, not only that, there's no room for the walls. Well, so you're going to have to take a little bit less over here, according to him, and you're going to take a half of this tefach. Etzbalakotomikan. Rochbo shel aron shiva tefachim al nechzer. What do we get to? Again? Because the amma is. Amma v'chetzi is five, so you take one amma of chamisha, you take another half an amma of chamisha, is treva poly, so that gives you 7.5. Again, arba luchot ayubo, shneim shleimim, shneim shvurim, kevasher shibarta v'samtem baron, luchot kol echad v'echad orkan shisha tfachim, rochman shlosha tfachim, ten orkan rochvo shel aron. Now you're only left with a tefach mechza, that gives you an etzba for the kotomikan, and now you'll see why we didn't want to give the whole chatzi tefach, because we need Mokom for Shilut. We're going to have to be able to take out the Luchot, you know. So you have Chatzi Tefach Mikan, Chatzi Tefach Mikan, that's L'Shilut for the Luchot. And there was no Sefer Torah. And we'll get to that in a moment. Now, how was it manufactured? So Rabbi Chanina says, basically, he took three separate boxes. Shalosh Tevot Asa'o. He made two boxes of Zahav, one box of eighth. He took the inner box of Zahav, inserted it into the outer box of eights, inserted the outer box of eights into the most outward box of Zahav, and then covered the upper part where the eights was uncovered with gold as well. And this way, the entire box was, since it says v'tzipito to Zahav tahor mibayit u'michutz, why does it throw in another word, mibayit u'michutz titzapenu? You just said v'tzipito to Zahav, right? So the extra word titzapenu is coming to tell me matam l'mitzapenu lavi sefato elyonah. You should know that the edge that would be sticking out, if you removed the kaporet, you would see gold, wood, gold. No. You have to cover the little piece of wood so that it looks like solid gold. And it's not supposed to be wood exposed. That's Sfato El Yonah. Reish Lakish Omer? No. What does it say anything about three boxes? It says a box. So that means you take that one box, Teva Achat Asa'o, and you cover the box the way you cover the other Caleb with gold. So Vitzipo, it says, you mitzapa, it says Vitzipito Oto. What does Oto mean? One box should be covered. Zahav Tormi Bayat Umichutz. Now, according to him, Matam Lomer Tetzapenu, Omer Bipinikos, according to Reish Lakish, it means Lavi Beneser Laneser. Because when you get, look, it's like putting formica on a tabletop. So normally, if they do a crummy job, they put the formica on the top, but the edge remains wood. No. Over here you put gold veneer, and then on the edge, Beneser Laneser, you always have to put gold. So the whole thing should look like gold, not just gold on the upper part of the lumber, but gold on the sides and little pieces between where they're connected. Therefore, the whole thing would look like it was made out of solid gold. That's the Vitzipita Oto. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, how do we fit everything into the Aron? So, Ketzer Ayoluchot Ketuvim. Okay. We went through this. Obviously, he doesn't told there was a Sefer Torah in there. Now, the Luchot themselves, we have the size of the Luchot, but how were the Ktav of the Dibrot on the Luchot? Now, there is a Das Yochid who holds that it was written the way it's written in the Shuls, except for the fact that Luchot did not have that ridiculous, you know, round shape on top. Where they get that from is crazy. I mean, obviously, they couldn't fit into the Aron if it was shaped like that. It was square. But okay, fine. But at least there were five Luchot written on one, five dibrot written on one and five dibrot written on the other. That's why it says Vayiktavein, meaning all ten were written on a total of Shnei Luchot Avanim. And that means Chamisha Luachze v'Chamisha Luachze. The Rabbanan said, this is the Das Rabim, why for some reason the Shuls don't like that, it's too much trouble. That's not the point. The point of the Shnei Luchot Avanim is that they are the Luchot HaBrit. When you sign a contract, each party gets the contract. So you need the full, what are you going to do? You're going to give the buyer half of the contract and the seller half of the contract.
Marx Brothers.
That's right. So obviously each one of the luchot had all 10. Tzivim, you have to have 10 on one luch, 10 on the other luch.
So
no, we don't. What do you mean? That's both our territories. This is the safe deposit box. All right, so it's an escrow. And it's called a Mishka. Mashkan, escrow. Okay. So now we're keeping the luchos in escrow. So we need 10 aloachze and 10 aloachze. I would receive it. That's what it says. Vayaged lechem et brito asher tzivatem lasot aseret advarim. That's it. He gives you the entire one. Asher aloachze. Asher aloachze. Rish Shimon Bar Yochai says, no. Each one of the luchot had the 10 written twice. Because it's on both sides. It's mizeh umizeh ketuvim. So that means there is 20 on each luach. Yesrim aluach zeh. Yesrim aluach zeh. Dechtiv vayichteveim al shnei luchot avanim. So vayichteveim is twice. Yesrim aluach zeh. Yesrim aluach zeh. Rabbi Simoi says, hey. And what if you're standing on the edge where you think you don't see it from the side? You have to have 40 on each luach. So that when you lift up the luach, no matter how you look at it, it was a tetragram, so that it was basically, you could look at it from any direction, and you would still see the Aseret HaDvarim, which means there was Arba'im HaLuachzeh, the Arba'im HaLuachzeh, the Chtiv Mizeh Umizeh Im Ketuvim, and that is tetroga. So it's a tetragram, essentially, that no matter how you look at it, you see those 10 luchot. Now that would be shtick to put that on the Oren. You know? If you want to have a real Oren, you do a hologram of the luchot.
Yes.
Then let people walk around, see the luchot, Mizeh Umizeh Im Ketuvim. Said it goes straight through. Chananya. Sort of. Chananya ben Achi Reb Yeshua, you should know that the Luchot didn't only have the Luchot, meaning the Aseret HaDvarim. They had every single piece of Gemara, Mishnah, Halacha, Midrashim, all of the Diktukim, the Osius, the Taimei HaMitzvahs, and so on. Because it says, Mulaim b'Tarshish. They are filled like the ocean. Tarshish was the ocean. Kiyama Rabba, that's like the ocean. And indeed, says Rish Lakish. It says Rava Yishlam, when Rish Lakish used to come to this pasuk, he was so inspired. He said, because it's not just a weak reference to the ocean. It's a reference of encoding information like the ocean. That's what's so brilliant about it. So Yofel Ibdani Chananya ben Achi Reb Yeshua. Why is it referred to as an ocean? It could be anything. Because an ocean uses waves for information. But waves contain waves between the waves that you see. All those waves have little waves on top of them and little waves on top of them. And therefore the luchos were multiplexed. That's the idea. So that's the way it was all fit in. Just like the yam, ben gal gadol, gal gadol, he's got lots of galim ktanim. The same thing is true. Ben kol dibur v'dibur. There's room for all of the kol dibur v'dibur. You'd wonder how all that could fit in the luchos. You'd be amazed at how much information you can put into one tiny little part.
Do we know what kind of song the luchos are?
Sapphire.
Also, the first
we use that today for lasers.
Silicon.
No, sapphire was used for lasers. You want to use light information.
Yeah.
That's what
it's
for.
Sapphire for the first and the second?
Yeah, that's how we got rich. From the right. Bafka for the second, and solar cloud. The other ones I could have probably took care of.
That was sapphire also?
We know that Moshe Rabbeinu is definitely sapphire. It says there was a Machzev Shel Sapphire, right? Fire for screens. This is like this is the upcoming.
What were you using before?
Nah, come off it, man. Gorilla glass? That's the next thing. It's apparently 3,000 times more resistant to breaking and cracking, and 3,000 times more than the current.
How much money the price?
Anyway, Amar Rabbi Tanchumi. I asked Kamei Rabbi Pinchas. I mean, this means that it only goes only by Rabbi Yehuda, right? I mean, not only by Rabbi Meir. I mean, it's like the pasuk seems very clear that there was no Sefer Torah in those Orein. But according to Rabbi Meir, the Sefer Torah was in the Orein because, look, I mean, you can't make it work. My time at the Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, look, it says, Lekoach et Sefer HaTorah zeh, v'samtem oto mitzad aron brit Hashem, okay? So that doesn't work out of the Rabbi Meir, does it? Because Rabbi Meir says, supposed to put it inside. According to Rabbi Meir, it shouldn't have said mitzad. I'll die to Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Eichan hayat Sefer Torah natun. Well, it was Kamin Guluskia, so I had a little, one of those, like they use for the Lahavdil, those dirt sheets and they give out, supposedly contains the Divrei Torah, but actually contain advertisements for buying things on Shabbos to make sure nobody davens, and to be makshil them and reading Stari Hadyotis on Shabbos, and so on and so forth. So they made these special dapim out of plastic, and you hold them on the side, right? Right there, take a look.
Yeah, and, alonim.
Yeah, so what do they call those things that hold the alonim at a little angle? It's very cute. Anyway,
it's a shelf
that goes at an angle, yeah. You know, you put it in. So that's what they had. They had it on the outside of the aura, and the Sefer Torah fit into there. So just to be machshel people more, they wanted to remind them that it's like you're learning the, you know, you're learning the Torah, the Divrei Abris, or somewhere else. Because that's the Indian. So it's coming gluski asulami bachos. According to Rabbi Meir's got an excellent basis for him. My time at Rabbi Meir, you take a look at this post and you tell me how this makes sense. Okay, so if you do that, what happens now? The El Aaron titenet eidut asher tenelech. That's it. El Ha'aron. No. So El Aaron means inside of the Aaron, right? So now, the only way that this works out, according to Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, it makes no sense at all. Because first you have to put in the Eidus. Then you have to put on the Kaporos. Now, if you're telling me that the Aron HaBrit was used as an Aron HaKadosh for the Sefer Torah, so I understand. You make the Aron HaBrit, which is the Luchos, inside of the Deva, covered with the Kaporos. Now, you uncover, you open the Aron, you put in the Sefer Torah. Okay, all right, so then it makes sense. I mean, but otherwise it doesn't make any sense. Can't be referring to the Eidos, meaning the Luchos, you put the Luchos in after you put on the Kaporos. The whole point is that the Luchos are in there, and then you put on the Kaporos. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the only way to understand this, it should say, Adai to Rabbi Yehuda, he would have to be saying, Ein Mugdam Lucha B'Torah. In other words, the way to understand the Pasuk is, El Aaron Titenet Eidut, Asher Tenet Lecha, and then, V'natata Takaparat Al Aaron Milamala, which is, you know, a stretch. Rabbi Pinchas, B'Shem Reish HaKish, says you should know, we were talking about inscribing information in these luchot. That's because that's what the Torah is. It's complete and total ish. It's not something that you write. That's a metaphor for the Torah. But the Torah, Shenatana HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, is entirely ish. It was given with ish levana, there's charuta be'ish shechora, he ish, the Torah itself is ish, muchlelet me'ish, it incorporates all the variabilities of possible ways in which all of this information can be put together. It's chatsuva me'ish, it was netunami tocha ish, and therefore it's referred to as mi'imino, ish dat lamo. I guarantee you, im golau imachem lebava, you ain't going to be carrying it masa bekatef ever. Do what Hashem elokechem et amo Yisrael, and do what you got to do. Love that pasuk too. Pitam shemen amishcha, it says, takach lecha, so it goes through basically 1,750 different things, at least the way the Bavli understands it. So, besomim rosh, mordor, chamesh meot kimen bosom, machzito is chamishim umataim, which is a total of chamesh meot, kine bosom chamishim umataim, and kida is chamesh meot, which gives us a total of, as it says over here wrongly, 1,500, but it may be some change of the year, so 1,750. So we have, that means, Elef Chamesh Meot Manim, the Shemen Zayet for this entire mixture, is one hin, which is nuts. That's only Shnei Masar Lug. Shabosho Kimet Ikarim Devi Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Yehuda says, that's crazy, you can't do it that way. You have to first be Shokan B'mayim, and then Noten Shemen Agabeyim, Mishaya Kolet Et Areach, then Ayam Aviro. And that's why it says, Rokeach, Maser, it's Rokach, Maser Rokeach. Giderach Shapta Patamim Osim, Hadu Dichtiv Shemen Mishchat Kodesh, Aspi Maser Rokeach. Tani Rebbe Yehuda Be Rebbe Loi, Shemen HaMishcha Shasam, Moshe Bamidbar, Maase Nisim Naase Bo Mitchil Vatzov. First of all, Mitchil Oya Bo L'Shem Etzalug, right? Shem HaShem, Shem HaZayit Hin.
If you try to be lo suchata ikarim, lo yabos sepek. So alachat kamavik kamah, if you're going to try boiling it, you got to be crazy. First of all, the ur is bolea. The itzim are bolim. The yora is bolat. There's not going to be one drop of shemen left. And yet, mimenu nimshichu mishkan v'chokelav, shulchan v'chokelav, norah v'chokelav, mimenu nimshichu aron, kohen gadol, banav, and all of this was done 7 times. Koshivati be'am miluim. And mibenu nimshichu kohanim gdolim, umlachim. A melech betchila requires mishicha. Melech ben melech ain't on mishicha because it says hu banav kol hayamim. And ain benota on mishicha. But a kohen gadol, ben kohen gadol afila atzaradarot to un mishicha. וכולו קיים לעתיד לבוא anyway. ההוא תכסיף שם עם משכה קודש, יהיה זה בגמת שיוד בית לי לדורותיכם. אין מושכים המלאכים על גבי המעיין, שנאמר וירכבתם את שלמה בני על הפרדה אשר לי והורדתם אותו אל גיחון, ומשך אותו שם צדוק הכהן ונתן הנביא למלך הישראל. So even though אין מושכים מלך בן מלך, אל מפני המחלוקת. מה נמשך שלמה? מפני מחלוקתו של אדוניהו. יואש, because התליהו had stolen the crown. יואחז, because יויקים was older, 2 שנים. יהו מפני יורם. יהו מפני יורם. Those are מלכי ישראל. I thought we say, לורק אין כתיב, קום משחיל, כי זהו. Meaning, זה טעון משיכה. But מלכי ישראל אינן טעונים משיכה. Well, so I ask you, and how did you understand Yoachaz b'pnei Yoyakim, achiv she'agadol mimenu 2 shanim? I thought his dad, Yoshio, already had been ganazo before. So obviously we're not talking anymore about the Shemen HaMishka, right? So hada amra b'far simon nimshach. Ein boshchim melachim ela min ha'keren, Sha'ul and Yehu, who were nimshchu min ha'pach, hayta malchutan malchut overet, David v'shlomo, that when Nimshechu mina Karen, hayta malchutan malchut kayemet. That's why we say when something gets ruined, it's nofel bapach. Ein moshchin kohanim milachim ever. Omer of Yuda atudaraya al shem lo yasur shevet mi Yuda. Omer of Chiyabarada leman yarich yamim amal molchto hu uvanav v'kerev Yisrael. What does it say right afterwards? Lo yela kohanim alavim. Omer of Yochanan. You, Yochanan, who Yoyachaz. That's not possible, because it says that the Bechor of the children of Yosheo was Yochanan. And here it says Yoyakim was older. No. Bechor means Bechor for Malchus. Om Reb Yochanan, Shalom and Tzidkio is the same person. It says, HaShlishi Tzidkio Revi Shalom. No, Shlishi means third in line of birth. Revi'i means fourth in the line of Malchut, because first they were Mamlu Yechonyo. Then Tzidkio was appointed by Nebuchadnezzar as an uncle. Famous British approach. Yeah. Anyway, why is he called Tzidkio? Shitzidek alav midat hadin. Shalom shebiyamav shilma malchut beit David. And actually, says Rish Lakish, lo shalom avishmei, v'lo Tzidkio avishmei, they were both al shem demaisa. Ela Mataniyahu. Hado dechtiv, vayamlech melech bavelet matanyahu dodo tachtab, vayasevet shemo tzidkiyahun. Om Rebbe Yochanan ba'al mashal shishat vachim ayron nasui. Man tana ba'al mashal shishat vachim, that's Rebbe Meir in the Mishnah Kalim. It's on Rebbe Meir, amir kolamot ha'yu bebeinu niyot. Whereas Rebbe Yudah amir, only amot ha'binyan were amar shal shisha beinonit, but shal kelim were chamisha. So now, alvaited Rebbe Meir, amir ba'al mashal shishat vachim ayron nasui. It works out that the orach of the aron was chamisha sreit vachim. Because amotayim v'chitzi orko, which gives us one Amav Ashita, another Amav Ashita, and a Palgam of Tlata, which is 15. Then we have the Arbaluchot Ayubo, Shnaim Ushlemim, and Shnaim Ushvurim, Tekiv Asher Shibarta, the Samtim Baron, including the Shviras. Aluchot, each one of them was Orcho Shisha, and Rochbo Shlosha. Fine. So now, Tain Orcho Shaluchot Orchan Shal Aron. What do you have? Three, you have 15. 3 times 4 is 12. 4 times 3 gives us now the 12 mishtayer sham shlosha tvachim. Ten mehem chatzi tefer l'chol kotel mishtayer shnei tvachim. The shnei tvachim is just the perfect size for the sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu put into the Oren. Rochbo shel aron tisha tvachim. Dechtiv ama v'chetzi rochbo. According to Rabbi Meir, an amta zashita pagat deslata, and the arba l'chot ayubo shnayim shlemim shnayim shvurim. Dechtiv hashashibart v'samta baron luchot. Each one of them was orkan shisha tvachim rochman. So now if the orkans of the ruchos were the roch b'shal aron, so now we have six out of the nine nishtayer shem shlosha that were left. Okay, you have to take out a chatzitefach mikan lekotaze, chatzitefach mikan lekotaze. You're left with two tefachim. What were those tefachim on the edge of the sefer Torah? That was sufficient to the shilut makom she sefer Torah munach. Resh Lakish omer. Who's that Tana? That is Mantana Bama Bat Khamisha Rabbi Yuda. The Tanina Taman and Kalim Rabbi Amata Banyan Shisha Shel Kalim Khamisha. So now according to him, since Ahina Aaron was a Kliu, so Daita Rabbi Meir, Dom Rabama Shama Khamisha Tvachim, we now have only Shnema Sartafahu Mechza, because it says Amatai Vachet Zirko. So you have Amta Khamisha, Amta is Khamsha. Gives you 10. Paugatam Tatreya Plague gives you 12 and a half. The four Luchot Ayubo, Shnaim Shlemim, Shnaim Shvorim, Tichtiva Sheshibarte, Vesamtem Baron, Aluchot Yakol Echad Vechad Okan Shishat Fachim Racham Shloshat Fachim, Tino Okan Shaluchot Lor Koshal Aron, Shtair Shom Chatzi Tefach, Etzpa Luchot Amikan, Etzpa Luchot Amikan, the Roch Boshal Aron, according to him, is Shiva Tvachim Umechza, because you have Ama Vachetzi, so an Ama is Chamisha. And the Palgutam is Treupoli, gives you 7.5. The Arba Luchot Ayusham, Shleim, 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 Shvum, Dechteva Sheshbat, Samto Aron, Luchot Ayukalachad, Orkan Shishatvachim, Rochban Shlosha, Ten Rochban, Le Orochbo, Shel Aron, Nishtar, Ten Rochban, Shel Orochbo, Shel Aron, Nishtar, Shom Tefachu Mechza, and that was an Etzpa for the Kotomikan, Etzpa the Kotomikan. All you're left with is the Chatzitefamikan, Chatzitefamikan for the Shil. To be able to get the luchot in and out, if you can carry 500 tons. Ketzer asabet zelelat Aaron. Zeruchanino amar shalosh tevot asao, shtayim shel zahav, and achat shel eitz. Apparently, as the Mefarshim say, from the four sides, it was written was to enable the people that were standing on any side to see it. So obviously, there was a period in which they had to remove the luchos. To show, otherwise, what was the point of four luchot? That, I mean, obviously, we could say the four was, you know, conceptual, yeah. But okay. Anyway, so you would take the shel zahav, put it inside of the eitz. Then you take the eitz, put it inside the outermost of zahav, leaving over the top of the eitz uncovered, and you then cover that with tzipo. Why do you have to say tzepeno again? Rish Lakish says, no. It was one teva, and they were mitzapa that teva. It says tzipita oto. Okay. All right. So now when it says tzipita oto zahav, tori by how does Rish Lakish explain Tetzapenu? Well, Rabbi Pinchas, that's to tell me that not only the upper veneer, but the edges, Nesser, had to be covered, so it looked like a solid piece. Ketzar haya haluchot ketuvim. Ruchanani ben Gamliel omer chamisha luach zeh, and that's why it says, v'yichtevim all 10, al shnei luchot avanim, which means split it into two, chamisha zeh. But the Rabbanan say, no, there's two copies of the same contract, That means he gives one to you. And that's on the both sides. Used to be Mati, Naden Kra, Avi Omer, יופל לימדני חנניה בן אחי רבי יהושע, מה הים הזה בין גל גדול לגל גדול, גלים קטנים, כך בין כל דיבור ודיבור דיתוקר ואותיותיה של תורה, אומר רבי תנחומן. I ask, כמל רבי פנחס, פוסק seems to work out only על רבי יהודה, doesn't work out על רבי מאיר. My time in Rabbi Yehuda, says, Lekoch et Sefer HaTorah hazeh, v'samto moto, mitzad Aron Brit Hashem, right? Not inside. Al daiti de Rabbi Yehuda, v'omar hechanat, Sefer HaTorah haya natun, kimin gulis kimura, esu yalom, mibachutz, v'ya Sefer HaTorah natun betocho. And my time de Rabbi Meir, dechtiv, natat, et hakapurat Aron milamala, v'la Aron titen et ha'edut, which can't refer to the luchos, it has to be something that's going to be given later. Asher etene lecha. Al daiti de Rabbi Meir, so it should say, al daiti de Rabbi Yehuda, he'd have to say, domrei mukdanu mu'achar b'Torah. So the way to understand the pasuk is actually, ve'al Aaron titen et ha'edut asher etene lecha first, ve'achar kach v'natat et hakapurat al Aaron milamala. Rabbi Pinchas b'shem Reish Lakish says that the Torah, shenatan la'kadosh baruch hu l'moshe, it was written, Eish levana charuta be'eish shechora. The Torah itself is Eish, it's muvlalat mi'eish, it's chatzuva mi'eish, it's netuna mitocha Eish, dechdim mimino, Eish dat lamo.
מי שנגנז אהרון, נגנז עם הצנצנת המן, הוא צלוחית שמן המשחר, מקלו של אהרון, וברכיו ושקדיו וארגז ששיבו פלישתים אשם לאלוהי ישראל. At the time that they were gonez the Aron, all of those things that had been placed next to the Aron, each time to a specific tzivui or acceptance that they wanted to make a zikaron, which was the tzinsenet haman, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, kach tzinsenet achad, the tzluchit of Hashem and Hamishcha, which needed to be used in the future for the building of the Beis HaMikdash to be Mekadosh Kelim and so on, the makel of Aharon, which had still its flowers and its shkedim on it, and the Plishtim's gift, when they had returned to the Aron after the Nisan, when the Aron was captured at the time of the death of Eli, all were hidden along with it. Mi ganazo, who was the one who hid it? Yoshio ganzo, why? Kivan shera'a shekatuv, yolech Hashem otcha v'et malkecha shetakim alech el goya asher lo yadata avotecha. When he saw that the Pasuk said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have a nation that you never knew before come and conquer you, Amad v'ganzo, he decided that it was time to be gunis the Aron, and he sensed that the time was coming. Hadu d'chtiv, and that's why he turns to the Leviim and he says to them, Vayomer la'Leviim ha'mevinim, v'lecho Yisrael ha'kedoshim la'Hashem, tenu et Aron ha'kodesh b'bayit asher banah Shlomo ben David melech Yisrael. It's a very strange thing to say centuries after the Aron was already brought into the Beis HaMikdash. But the point is that Shlomo HaMelech had actually prepared underground chambers that were beneath the Kodshei HaKadoshim, which they put the Aron into. And he added the words, which don't seem to make sense on the surface. He told them, Ein lechem masa bekatef. You no longer have carrying the Aron on your shoulders, which is irrelevant. What was he trying to say? What he was telling them is, look, if they take the Aron away this time, you're not going to ever be able to carry it again. So, im golawi machem lebavel, ein atem machzerim oto od lemekomo. There'll never be a chance, because even if there's an end of the galut and Klal Yisrael comes back, there's no way that they're going to relinquish control over the Aron. Ela ata yivdu et Hashem Elokechem v'et amo Yisrael, and go and work directly for Hashem and for Klal Yisrael without concern for contact with the Aron from this point on. Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, okay. That's a big help. Hello. You seem to have lost some weight, Nechemia. Yeah? Seem to have lost a little weight there. Shimon Zayit, once we already bring up the things that were put away together with the Aron, we go into a little bit of the detail of the Shemans. It's amazing, because tonight's daf, Shavuos' daf, is all about Malchus Beis David and about the Luchos. It's absolutely wild. Okay, so we start with the Shemen HaMishka. Shemen HaMishka, obviously that was what was used also for the creation of the Malchut. So Shemet Zayit in Shnebasar Lug. How did they use the Shemet Zayit? Shebosho Kinete Ikarim, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir said what they did was they boiled up the various spices that are listed in the Torah together with the oil, and that when the oil absorbed the taste, the smell of the spice. Says Rabbi Yehuda, that's ridiculous. Shokan haya b'mayim, there's no way that that could work. They had to first boil everything up in water, and then the water absorbed the taste. And then they put shemen, let the shemen float on top of the water. Mishayaku leitat hareach haya ma'aviro k'derech shapatamim osim. After the oil absorbed all of the smell that was in the water, this is the way they make perfume, and that's the way they made the shemen ha-mishka. That's the meaning of Shemen Mishchat Kodesh. The oil is used only for Mishicha, not for boiling. Tony Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Eloi. Shemen HaMishcha Sha'asa Moshe Bamidbar Ma'ase Nisim Bo Na'ase Bo Mitchila V'Atzof. Basically, the reason that Rabbi Yehuda said it's ridiculous is because it's physically impossible. You can't take 12 little lug of Shemen and put all of the ingredients that the Torah mentions and have any oil left after you boil it up. It'll be completely absorbed by the ingredients. 12 lug is nothing. So it's not possible. Therefore, it comes on Rabbi Yehuda to say that the Shemen HaMishka essentially was miraculous from beginning to end. Because look, lo haya bo al shemasar lug. For sach hakol, there were only 12 lug of oil. Shemen shemen zayit hin. Now, im lasuch bo et hayikarim, lo haya bo sipek. It would have been impossible to use that amount of oil just to put gently on the outside of the various ingredients. And forget about boiling it. Alachat kamava kamasha urbo leah. If you start boiling it, so then first of all, some of it boils off with the heat. And then you have the etzim bolim. A lot of it comes together with inedible material, which is wood. A lot of them are woody types of spices. The wood itself would absorb the oil. Hayora bolat. Forget about the pot. The pot also absorbs. And nonetheless, bimenanim shekha mishkan, the kolkelab. So the mishkan, all of the kelim of the mishkan, the shulchan, all of the kelim of the shulchan, the menorah, all of the kelim of the menorah, not to mention the fact that we needed enough to be Moshe Aaron as a Kohen Gadol and his children every single one of the days of the Shivas Yemei Miluim. Forget about the fact that throughout all the generations, every single Kohen Gadol had to be Nimshach. And then there's also the kings, the Malachim. Now, as for once we're talking about Malachim, strangely enough today, the Melech b'tchilata un Mishicha. Melech requires Mishicha only when he's the beginning of the dynasty. But Melech ben Melech enta un Mishicha. A son of a melech who is Mashuach does not require Mishicha. How do we know? My timer, we're going to talk about it. Kum Moshcheu Kizehu. We see that Shmuel was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he came and he saw David HaMelech, get up and be Moshech him. He is the one. What's that? He is the one. Zetu un Mishicha. Vein benotu un Mishicha. He and only he of this dynasty requires Mishicha. Avo Kohen Gadol, even if he's a Ben Kohen Gadol, I don't care how long, he may have been in the family already for 10 generations. Afilo Asra Dorot, To'un Mishicha. Kohen Gadol, the Mishicha of a Kohen Gadol is a din in the Kedusha of the Mishkan. It's not a din in a dynasty at all. It's not just a sign of Gedula. It's an actual, the same way that we're Mosheach, the Kalim, the Kohen Gadol is viewed essentially as a chelik of the Mishkan himself. So it has nothing to do with that we know that he is and that everybody accepts that he is. It's a din in the Etzim Kedusha.
What would you get from saying that?
Oh, and that's the amazing thing. The Kula, not only that, not only did it all come from these 12 Luke, but Le'atid Lavo, when it's time to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, we will still have exactly the same 12 Luke. None of it will have been used. Obviously, this is part of Shemen. This is the Nes of Chanukah. It's the same concept of Shemen in the Nes of Midrash. Ahu dechtim, Shemen mishchat kodesh, yeh zi, zeh li ledorotechem. That's why the letter zeh spell yud beis. So zeh, the same yud beis, is li ledorotechem for all of your generation.
The same 12.
Sorry?
There's
a medrash. What do you mean? Yeah, of course. Well, we've had this. This is the Yerushalmi we're learning now. We've had it in the Bava. We've had it in Menachas. In Moshkin HaMelachim Ela Agave HaMa'ayan. When we come to be Moshe HaMelach, it has to be done on a flowing stream. שנאמר, וירקפתם את שלמה בני על הפרדה שלי, והורדתם אותו אל גיחון, ומשך אותו שם צדוק הכהן ונתן הנביא למלך ישראל. So the same way that the water flows, we want a simon that the malchut will continue to flow. אין מושכין מלך בן מלך. We never will be Mosheach, a son of a king, unless there's an argument. If there's been some political problem about who the next king is supposed to be, then we do the Mashiach of the child. Mipnei ma nimshach Shlomo, and indeed why did Shlomo require Mashiach? We just said he was our raya that we need the water. Mipnei machlokoto shel Adoniyahu. Obviously we needed to do that because Adoniyahu had been molech, so it was necessary to show that actually Shlomo was the king. The reason that we went ahead and we were Mosheach Yoash was because Ataliah had taken over the Malchut and claimed that she was the one. Yehoahaz, because Yehoiakim actually was older than he was by 2 years, and yet they had made Yehoahaz the king. So that required an assertion, which was Mashiach. Yehu, obviously Yehu required Mashiach, because Yehu was taking over Yoram's Malchus. I mean, he actually murdered him. But wait a minute. But Yehu wasn't from Malchus Beis David, right? So doesn't it say, Lo ken k'tiv kum moshcheo ki zehu, ze to'un Mashiach, ve'in malchei Yisrael to'unim Mashiach? So that doesn't make sense. How actually did we even have a right? Forget about it. You're talking about over here Shemen HaMishka. The Shemen HaMishka is Kodshim. If you use the Shemen HaMishka unnecessarily, so you're going to be Moel Behegdash. You can't be Mosheach with Shemen HaMishka as a political gesture. So if the Torah never required Mashiach, and that's why we call Mashiach Mashiach, because of the fact that he's Mashuach with the Shemen. So if we wanted to give Yehu oil, how could we use the Shemen HaMishka? It says, Ein Malchei Yisrael to ni Mashiach. Okay, scotch that. I'm sorry. Start over again. Think about it for a minute. Yehoahaz, we said, required Mashiach because of Yehoiakim, right? Who was Galui Menashtei Shanim, excuse me. But you just said earlier that Yoshiyahu was the one that had hidden the Orin together with the Shemen HaMishka. Well, man, that was way before Yehoahaz and Yehoiakim. So how in the world did they even have it available? V'lo Yoshiyahu Ganzo? Clearly, when we say we were Mosheachim, a political Mashiach does not require the Shemen HaMishka. So a political Mashiach could be done with Shemen HaFar Simon. So here's the Far Simon Nimshach. If that's the case, the same thing would be true about Yoash, about Yehu. It doesn't mean necessarily that we went ahead and we used the Shemen HaMishka. It means we did an act of Mashiach to counter the terrible political undercurrents that were against his taking over the Malucha. In Moshechina Melachim Elam and Akeren, we only use a Karen. Karen is always a sign. A horn is a sign of Chashivas. So we talk about even when we're misspelled for the Tzmicha. It's Karen David that we want to be Tzmeach. So the Karen of Malchus is a sign that it is going to be permanent. Shaul and Yehu did not have a Karen. It says that they took out a Pach. And they were Nimshku bin a Pach. And indeed, Aitam Malchutan Malchut Overet. The Malchut of both of them didn't last. It was only one generation. David and Shlomo were Nimshku bin a Karen. Aitam Malchutan Malchut Kayemet.
With the Karen
is a sign of Chashivah. It has in it simonim of Gedula.
Is that
for Karen Menesor? No. It's the whole brach of Yosef. It's Karen. It's always a prayer. Ein Moshchin Kohanim Melachim. That's the drasha Ramah Karni Ba'ashem that Chana sang. So the Gemara Darshan's Ramah Karni V'lo Pachi. That my son Shmuel used both. Used the Karen and a Pach. The only one that was Ramah was the Karen, not the Pach. In Moshkin Kohanim Melachim, there's also an Isser to make a Kohen a Melach. That could be. Not necessarily. Omer Rabbi Yehuda and Deuteronomy. Al Shem Lo Yasu Shevet Miyuda. That's not a din in Mashiach. It's that Bechlal. You should not give over a Malchus to the Kohen. The Ramban, remember, learns that that's the reason that Hanukkah was a disaster. Hanukkah collapsed very rapidly. It turned into a bunch of fraternal fightings and battles and ended up dragging in the Romans eventually. It was a terrible thing. And the Ramban said the reason was because they were over on this Gemara. actually the pasuk says that lo yasur shevet miyud, and they wanted to make themselves melachim. Om rebchia barada leman yarich yamim al mamlachto hu uvanav bekerav Yisrael. So here, when it talks about the Mashiach, what's the next word? Lo yiyeh lekohanim halaviyim. Of course, there it's referring to Nachala. But we put the two psukim together. Who can be mamlich melachim al Yisrael? Lo yiyeh lekohanim halaviyim. Om Reb Yochanan. You should know that Yochanan that shows up in the pasuk is actually Yoachaz. Wait a minute. How could that be? V'aktiv ha-bechor Yochanan. It says that the bechor was Yochanan. And you said that that actually Yoyakim was older than him by 2 years. You just said that a few moments ago. So how could it say that the Bechor was Yochanan, if according to you, Yochanan was Yoachaz? V'aktiv al-Bechor Yochanan. Bechor there does not mean Bechor in terms of the order of birth. Bechor means Bechor l'malchut, that indeed he was the first one to be Melech, even though he wasn't the oldest. Reb Yochanan, furthermore, in the structure of the Pasuk, Shalom equals Tzidkiyo. Oh yeah? We have a pasuk that says Ashlishi Tzidkiyo Varevi'i Shalom. That's pretty interesting. It's the same guy. No. It means Ashlishi L'toldot, among the brothers. So you had indeed Yoyakim Yoachaz Tzidkiyo. So he was the third in terms of birth, but he was the fourth in terms of Malchut, because remember that his nephew, Yoyachin, was appointed as king before Tzidkiyo became king. Nebuchadnezzar took Yehoyachin and destroyed his malchus and appointed Tzidkiyo. As a matter of fact, he was the one who called him Tzidkiyo by saying, Hashem yitzdak alecha tadin, if you don't keep your promise to me, and so on. So it means Harevi'i, meaning the Revi'i Malchut, was indeed the Shalom. Tzidkiyo, he was called Shetidek alav midat hadin. The reason he was called Shalom was because Shabiyamav Shilma Malchut Beit David. So Shalom means finale. This is the end. It wasn't really his name. Lo Shalom Aveshmei. Rish Lakish says his name wasn't Shalom and his name wasn't Tzidkiyo either. His name was Matanya. Adu Dichtiv Vayimloch Melech Bavel et Matanya Dodo Tachtav. The king of Bavel made Matanya, who was the uncle of Yoyachin, king, Vayasev et Shema Tzidkiyo. Turned his name to Tzidkiyo as a warning that just watch out if you don't keep your promise. Reb Yochanan. Since it's Shavuos night, we have to talk not only about the Malchus and Mashiach and so on, we'll have to talk about the size of the Luchites. So Reb Yochanan. Ba'amar shel shishat fachim haya ha'aron asui. Remember that we had actually three types of Amot. There was an Amah of 5 tvachim, an Amah of 6 tvachim, and an Amah of 6.5 tvachim. So Rabbi Meir says the standard Amah, which was the 6 tvachim Amah, was the size of the Aron. Ditzan Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol Amot ayu bebeinoniyot. All of the Amot that are mentioned in the Avodat HaMishkan were middle-sized Amot, which were 6 tvachim Amot. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that's not true, says Rabbi Yehuda. Amot HaBinyan were Shisha. So all of the measurements of the Mishkan itself were 6 tvachim per Amma, but Shel Kelim, and of course the Arayin was a Kli, were Chamisha. Now, figuring out the difference, Al Daite the Rabbi Meir Domar Ba'amma Shel Shisha Tvachim HaYaron Asui. Now figure this out. How did the Luchot fit into the Aron HaBrit, according to this? Okor Shel Aron Chamisha Asar Tvachim. This would make the length of the Arayin 15 tvachim here, because it says amatayim v'chetzi orko. So that means the length of the Arayin was 2.5 amot. Okay, each ama is ashita. According to him, an ama is 6. So amta ashita v'amta ashita, let's take 2, that's 12. Palgad amta tlata, half an ama as an additional 3, gives you now 15. The arba'a luchot ayubo, now there were 4 luchot in the Arayin, because you had the luchot that were whole, and you had the Shivrei Luchot, which took up the same space. So let's figure out as if they were whole, and pretend they were whole, okay? So now, how do we fit them in? Shnayim Shleimim, Shnayim Shvurim. Dichtiv. Take a look at the pasuk. It says, Luchot Asher Shibarta, V'samtam Ba'aron. If you put together the two psukim, you have now, take the Luchot Asher Shibarta, and put them into the Aron. Obviously, that's not the simple meaning of the pasuk. It says, "Vechtov al luchot atadvarim al sherayu al luchot arishonim asher shibarta." The samtem baron, the pashtut of the pasuk, is referring to the new luchot. But since it's put in this fashion, so we read it as if it's saying, "Take the luchot asher shavarta, the samtem baron." Now, aluchot ayu kol echad v'echad Okoshi Shatvachim Virachbo Shilosha. They grow on almost all of the Nuscharos of the Yerushalmi. Have 6 by 3 was the shear of the Luchot. Now, and this is the Gemara and Seita, also in the Bavli. Ting, it should say, it has it backwards over here also. Instead of saying the Orkan Shaluchot, it should be the Rochuban Shaluchot, Lorko Shel Aron. Does anybody have that Me'oroshas that has a little pictures in it, so we could show everybody? This makes it a little bit easier. This is the Me'oros. You have the Me'oros? So if we take the Luchot and we lie them with their width along the length of the Orin, got it? So then what we have is, if each one of them was 3, 3 times 4 is 12, the total distance was 15 that we have available in the length of the Orin. We're left with 3 Tvachim after putting the width of the Luchot along the length of the Orin. Okay? You got a picture? Yeah, but that's not pretty and golden and the whole business. That doesn't count. I mean, anybody can multiply 3 times 4, but not everybody can make it gold. Here you go. Look at that. That's the real thing. I guess. I didn't look at it. They're usually wrong, the pictures.
But it's golden pretty.
Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Looks good? Okay. Thank you. We're going to need more, though. Yeah. So that gave us, since each one is 3 tefachim, multiply it by 4. No, first of all, there wasn't room. Gives us room for 12. You're left with 3 tefachim. Tein me'am chatzit tefach. You now have to take that, one of those 3 tefachim is going to be used for a half a tefach on either side, is the thickness of the walls of the aron. So that's the kol kotav, because remember that the measurements of the aron was from the outside, not from the inside. You're now left with 2 tefachim along the entire width for the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. So that was where the Sefer Torah was. Now let's take a look of the rochav, the width of the aron. The width of the aron was 9 tefachim according to Rabbi Meir, because it says ama v'chetzi rochbo. Okay, so now an ama according to Rabbi Meir is ashita 6 tefachim, half an ama is 3 tefachim, 3 and 6 is 9. Arba luchot hayubo. You now have 4 luchot that you have to fit in that direction. Shnayim shleimim, shnayim shvurim. Dechtiv asher shivarta v'samtem baron again. Haluchot hayu kol echad v'yachad orkan shisha tefachim, rochban shlosha tefachim. Tin rochbam shaluchot, should say orkan shaluchot, l'rochbo shel aron. So you now have, out of the 9, you now have 6 that were used up for the luchot. You're left with 3 tefachim. But you have to take out a chatzit tefach mikan lekotel zeh, chatzit tefach mikan lekotel zeh. You are now left with 2 additional tefachim along the width of the orin. And the 2 additional tefachim were very useful, because that was l'shilut makom she sefer Torah munach. You had to take out the sefer Torah. If the sefer Torah would have fit in directly, then how would you get it out? So you had this additional space you could put in your hands and remove it. So this was all, I mean, according to this sheet, according to Rabbi Meir, Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote was actually placed inside of the Aron HaBrit. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Rabbi Shlakish says, no, this whole thing is wrong. It was Ba'amatat Chamishat Tvachim Haya Aron Azri. You got to recalculate everything. Okay, Man Tana Ba'ama Bat Chamisha Tvachim, that's Rabbi Yehuda. His Makor among the Tanaim is Rabbi Yehuda. Obviously, Rish Lakish didn't argue with Rabbi Meir on his own. The Tanina Taman, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Amat HaBinyan Shisha Shokelim Chamisha, which we just had in Roman Olive. Now, Ahina Aron Klihu. The Aron obviously is a Kli, therefore we have to measure it with 5 Tvachim per Ama. Now, I'll die to the Rabbi Yehuda. The Ama Be'ama Shachamisha Tvachim. Starting now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we have now Haya Orko, the length of the Aron was Shema Satevach Umechza. Instead of 15, it was 12 and a half. Again, a very simple cheshbon. Amatayim v'chetzi v'arko. Okay. Amatayim v'chetzi, each Amas Chamisha. So you have Amta Chamisha is 10. Palgut Amta, and half of 5 is Treva Pli, which gives you 12 and a half. The Arba Luchot, which were the same, Hayubo Shnaim Shleimim Shnaim Shvurim Dechtiv Asher Shibarta V'Samtam Ba'aron Haluchot, again, Hayu Kol Echad V'Echad Orkan Shisha Rochban Shlosha Tvachim Tein Orkan Sheluchot L'Orkor Shel Aaron. This doesn't change according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's all the same. However, according to him, there sure wasn't any room left Because if you only had 12 and a half, and you had 12 for the luchot themselves, 3 times 4, you were now left with only a half a tefach. That isn't even enough for Rabbi Meir's walls of the Oren. That means, according to him, what we had was one, we had to split those tefach, a chatzi tefach, basically. So we gave each wall etzpa lekotel mikan, the etzpa lekotel mikan is a half a tefach is 4 etzpaot, so all we had to give to the walls was an etzpa, according to him, with no room for a Sefer Torah at all. Rochubo shel Aron, according to Rabbi Yehuda, was 7.5 tefachim. Dichtiv amah v'chetzi rochubo, okay, an am tes chamisha, a half an amah is treva plig, equals 7.5. The arba luchot, shleim shleimim, shleim shvurim, again, dichtiv asher shibat, was amtem Aron, okay. Haluchot haya kol echad v'echad orkan shisha tefachim, rochuban shlosha tefachim, ten orkan l'rochubo shel Aron, you have now 6 tefachim out of the 7.5. Nishtayar sham tefachum mechza, what you had was now a tefach and a mechza left. Now, obviously, you didn't have thicker walls on the sides, so you give one etzpa lekotel mikan, etzpa lekotel mikan, and then you have left a one tefach. You use a chati tefach mikan, the chati tefach mikan leshilut. According to him, you had the remote controls, and oh no, the shilut didn't mean the remote controls in those days. You use the area where you could stick your hands in to pull out the luchot that was on either side. I don't know. The only ones I knew did that were Raiders of the Lost Ark, but by then all they had was the Shivrei Luchot. So you needed a chatzi tefach l'shilut. Whether they actually did it, by the way, is really irrelevant. But the point is that the nature of the kli is a kli that holds something to be removed. That's what it means for santen ba'aron. So it wouldn't have been an aron if there wasn't room to keep it in the aron. It would have just been like a covering to the luchot, which is not what it's supposed to be. But I don't know whether l'maisa anybody ever would take out the luchot. How exactly was the Aron made? And this is the famous Rashi, brings it in Chumash. Rebbe Chanina Amar, Shalosh Tevot Asol, Shtayim Shel Zahav, Achat Shel Eitz, Natan Shel Zahav B'Shel Eitz, B'Shel Eitz B'Shel Zahav. We now took the inner one, put it inside of the outer one, which was now Eitz, put the two of them inside the outermost one, which was Zahav. You're now left with basically a golden plated piece of wood box. The only thing that's left is a little top piece which wasn't covered. And then they also covered the outside tzipo. They covered the top so that it should be entirely gold. What is this titzapeno? Isn't that just additional? Vitzipita otov titzapeno? Ah! The titzapeno is to tell me that after I stuck one inside the other, there's still going to be something left to be mitzapen. Must be, this is his raya. It must be, therefore, that the meaning of titzapeno is not the standard covering where they would use gold foil to cover wood, but since it needed an additional tzipui on top, there must have been a different way that they made this. That was the shalosh tevot. The only meaning of titzapena would be the area that was left open after shalosh tevot would still require tzipui. So obviously, this wasn't the standard type of tzipui. Otherwise, what's the point of titzapena? Reb Shimon ben Lucky says, no, I have another meaning for that. Tevachat asar, actually it was one box, and it was a standard gold foil cover tzipohu. Now you're asking, so then according to me, so ma tamud lomar titzapenu, what then is the point of saying titzapenu? Omer Rabbi Pinchas, it's a very important point. It's lahavi beines elanese. Like this, you would say titzapenu means only the finished product, required covering with gold. The chiddush here is that the product was made out of pieces that were entirely covered with gold, despite the fact that nobody would ever see the edges that were being connected to the other side. But each piece had to be covered with gold completely before it was made into an aron. So in other words, according to him, we recognize that there is not only an aron, but there are ingredients to an aron. The ingredients of the aron were Eitz Mitzupe Zahav. So it's a tremendous chiddush. But it doesn't mean that we built it differently than we built anything else that was Mitzupe Zahav. Ketzad hayu haluchot ktuvim. How exactly were the luchot split? It's interesting. It never says exactly what to write, right? It says luchot. But like, what was written on each one of the luchot, we don't know. I mean, despite the fact that over there they put it up there, that's completely wrong anyway, because the Luchot didn't have that little round Gothic top. You know, that's the church version of the Luchot. The Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, well, the standard is Chamisha Luach Zeh v'Chamisha Luach Zeh. Ahudichti v'yichteveim al shnei Luchot Avanim. Write all of these on the two Luchot. So if you write all of these, it makes sense to say that they were split. Chamisha Luach Zeh v'Chamisha Luach Zeh. Rabbanan say, no. V'yichteveim, write these al shnei Luchot Avanim. Meaning write all of the Dibrais on two. Can you tell him to shut up? On two Luchot. Because what is the meaning of the Luchot? It's a completely different understanding of the nature of the Luchot, by the way. The meaning of the Luchot, according to this, is not a record of the Dibrot. It's the Brit. A Brit always has two copies. So it was basically the safe deposit box for the Brit, in which Klal Yisrael deposits their version, HaKadosh Baruch Hu deposits his version. So therefore, each one of the Luchot required all 10 Dibrot. Which makes a lot of sense. That's why it's called Luchot HaBrit. Why would we be the only ones to have a copy? Come in and keep a copy. Right? So like this, that's the point of the Oren. The Oren was keeping the copies. Yeah, that's beautiful. So we needed now 10 on each one of the Luchot. So that means Asara Luach Zeh, Asara Luach Zeh. If that's the whole point, that this is the Brit that consists of Asara Dvarim. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Omer, actually, it was doubled on each one of the Luchot. Esrim aluach zeh, v'esrim aluach zeh. Dichtiv v'yichteveim al shnei Luchot avanim, esrim aluach zeh, v'esrim aluach zeh. Because it adds again v'yichteveim. So it must be that there was a second writing as well. That means each one of the Luchot had 20. Rabbi Simoi says, no. The Luchot have basically four sides. Each side of the Luach reflected the Aseres HaDibros. In after all, there was no front or back. So therefore, you had 40 copy, basically. You had 40 Dibros on each one. Arbaim HaLuach Zeh. The Arbaim HaLuach Zeh, V'chtiv Mizeh U'Mizeh Hem Ketuvim. Since it says Beferush was written on all sides, Mizeh U'Mizeh, so what's front and back? In other words, wherever you look. That's what it means. Wherever you look, you have all of the Dibros. So that means that it was like we have here in Rome, Tetrogas. Tetrogas, obviously, a four-sided cube that has the writing on four sides of the cube. Chananya ben Achi Rabbi Yoshua Omer. But that's only what was obvious. The point is that the Luchos were basically the prime radians. You're familiar with Isaac Asimov's prime radiant? No? Bunch of Amoratsim around there. All right, so the prime radiant basically included all of everybody's Chiddush and Diyukim throughout all of the centuries. This was a psychohistory, of course, but all of the mathematics that were there were included in this tiny little box. And basically, it was a memory device that it would, you know, if you needed the information, it would project it. So the Luchos actually included not only the writing on the Luchos, but actually included Bein Kol Dibur V'Dibur. You had all of the Dikdukim, all of the Otiyot of Torah, Dichtim Mumula Imba Tarshish. It was filled like Tarshish. Tarshish is the ocean. Ki Yamaraba. Rib Shimon ben Lakish, Karabi Moti Aden Karya. When he came to this posik, he said, it doesn't seem to make any sense until somebody explained it to me. What does that mean, like the Yam? What's that saying? A lot of material. I mean, it wasn't bigger. So it doesn't add anything to say it was like the Yam. So he explained to me, Chananya ben Achi Rabbi Yoshua explained it to me brilliantly. Because if you take a look at the Yam, you notice that you not only have waves, but you have subwaves. So Bein Kol Gal Gadol Gal Gadol, you have Galim Ktanim. So too, Bein Kol Dibur V'Dibur, Diktu Kevot Yoter Shel Torah, which is incredible because this is how we actually carry, we piggyback on waves, smaller waves, in order to carry additional information. This was a modern technique. It's basically Gemara Mamish defines the technique. You take a look at water waves, you'll notice that you don't only have the wave, but you have subwaves on the wave, which means that more information can be carried than you think. So even though you have over here what appears to be the major content, it's katarshish, which must mean that there's additional information that's being carried on that information. It's absolutely gainous.
They knew what that meant, but it's a fantastic marshal because we use exactly those words. We use the word wave because we pattern it in, basically on water waves, even though it's only a marshal, electromagnetic waves. But the same idea, katarshish. That was brilliant. So all of the information was there. It's just that, you know, you had to decode the information. Rabbi Tanchuma, it kashayet kamei Rabbi Pinchas. I asked Rabbi Pinchas, I was very bothered by the way the pasuk seems only to work the way Rabbi Yehuda works it out. Atik Rabbi Yehuda, velo atik Rabbi Meir? Because, look, why do I say it's like Rabbi Yehuda? My time in Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda says there was no room for the Sefer Torah, right? And if you take a look in the pasuk, indeed it says, Lekoach et Sefer HaTorah hazeh v'samtem oto mitzad aron brit Hashem. It says put it on the side. So if you put it on the side, so how does Rabbi Meir say it was inside? It clearly wasn't inside, so that's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda was saying. V'lo hatik Rabbi Meir. So adai to the Rabbi Yehuda, do'ama echan haya Sefer Torah natun. What was Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? Where was the Sefer Torah? It was indeed in a kamin gluski asuilo mibachutz. It was like a packaging that would hold the Sefer Torah that was connected outside of the Oran. V'haya Sefer Torah natun betocho. But what does Rabbi Meir do? By time of Rabbi Meir. Says Rabbi Meir, look.
Bobby says, Mendapa.
Yeah, but a Gluski is not a Dapa.
No, same.
Yeah, difference, it's a different suit. My time of Rabbi Meir, Tehtiv natata takaporet al ha'aron milamala. Look at this pasuk and tell me it makes sense. It says, put the kaporet on the Aaron, and into the Aaron put the edut asher etene lecha. Now, that's crazy. You can't possibly put the edut after you put the kaporet over the Aaron. So what's it supposed to mean? Not to mention the fact that it already said before that you should put the edut, before you put on the kaporet al Aaron milamala. So before this pasuk, it says already the edut should be put into the Aaron. So how do we have two separate things? So therefore the meaning must be that it's aldai to the Rebbe Meir. That's a mistake you have here. So must mean that that's the Chiddush. Aldai to the Rebbe Yehuda, I should say. Aldai to the Rebbe Yehuda, the Amar ein mukdam u'mulcha b'Torah. According to Rebbe Yehuda, he'll have to say, look, I don't know, it's out of order. Fine, but still, I mean, so, Ela, Aaron titen et eidut asher etin elech. V'achar kach v'natat et hakaporet al Aaron milamala. It's the correct way to read it. But, okay, so we're still, what's the Chiddush? Isn't clear according to him. Rabbi Pinchas, B'Shem Resh Lakish, says, HaTorah shenatan lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, natna lo eish levana, charuta be'eish chora. Actually, the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu saw initially, before he wrote his Sefer, was a Torah that was written against a white background of fire, with black fire otiot, like sunspots. And that was Eish Muvlelet Be'esh, Chatzuvah Me'esh, Netunah Me'esh, Tichtim Yimino Eish Dat Lamo, which case the nature of the Torah, the Eish Dat, was actually envisioned by him as an actual flame. Okay, we'll do the Mishnah.
What happened next?
It's sure is. What do you mean?
The whole
God. Amazing. Okay, we're going to do a route outside. Anybody's interested? Get out of here. The next stop Yomi is tomorrow at 5:20. Shabbos at 5:20.
Where?
In our regular place.
5:20 Shabbos afternoon, the regular show.
Right. Thank you.
If the Mishnah was written on all four sides, and the mess of the hay and the Samos.
Exactly, yeah. Doesn't go according to that sheet then. Yeah. Can I know you?
Yes. Sergio.
Huh?
Sergio.
Sergio. Where did I meet you?
I was with him.
When?
Sure. Of yours.
He came in to the Daf one day.
Oh, was to the Daf?
Yeah.
Well, it's good to see you again.
Good to see you again.
Is Malchut in Shavuot connected to the Malchut of Rosh Hashanah?
Is there a connection between Malchus and Hashem and Malchut?
Malchut
the Ara came Malchut of the Rakia?
Sorry?
Malchut the Ara came Malchut of the Rakia? Let's see.
Okay.
It's all sure.
You have to ask someone.
I mean, I was wondering
if I was like, something about Darshan.
necessary that they would actually tie together.
Well, first of all, I listened to the Shearin and stuff runs through my head.
Mm.
Fascinating. Was that Africa lectures?
Oh, you're here. Yeah, they're amazing. Yeah, that's
still glowing.
Shalom Aleichem.
Lechem Shalom.
Who are you?
Shaga Leon. Shaga.
Shaga what?
Shaga Harrisburg.
Nice to meet you. Lovely
to meet you.
How are you?
That's my area.
I understand. We need what? Oh, really? Okay. We need some liquid here.
Some?
Liquid? Crazy. I forgot to tell the kids to bring Coke and stuff. Oh, the cooler is out?
Yes,
oh, Baruch Hashem. Oh, God. That's great.
Adela.
Yes, sweetheart.
Is there anything to do with that? The water's still hot, but it's not staying on. It's a lot of heat.
Wow, water machine is turned off.
Yeah, I noticed that the ceiling is hot. This isn't very hot.
Oh, my God. No, I'll have to wait till still. When's he coming? What's his name? Ishwan, tomorrow?
I thought we should maybe just boil up a pot of water.
Oh, yeah, that we for sure we can do. We'll leave it on the equator.
Yeah,
sure.
Anyway,
Alba,
this is Rob. It's not hot.
Oh, you did find it. Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you. Why doesn't everybody take a seat? Grab a seat. Yes, sweetheart. Yeah, we're bringing it. We're bringing out more. Shalom Aleichem. You're going to be able to handle tonight? I see you brought along a personal physician to keep you going, huh? Heart massager, huh? Thanks.